ways. Some words are very effective. You don't have to explain them. But tonight I would like to talk about a two-letter word that seems to stand like a high mountain in the midst of great valleys. It is a word that stands like a giant oak tree in the midst of a mighty forest. That little word is if. If. What wonderful light this little word if radiates. What glorious assumption this little word if shouts out. What beautiful affirmation this little word if declares. What palace doors this little word if throws open for us. What royal roads this little word if prepares for us to travel. What pain this little word if unveils. What exclamation this little word if express.
Say so.
What darkness this little word if maintains. If. This word, little if, carries us over Pacific oceans of peace, all the way up to mountains of hope. But it also carries us down into the valleys of despair.
Yes, sir.
If.
If.
The Bible is full of if. Job asked a question one time. If a man die, shall he live again? Am I right about that? The three Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, used that little word, if. They said, O king, we're not careful to answer thee in this manner. But if not, if our God doesn't deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, we still will not bow down and worship your golden image. They use that little word, if. The devil use if. If thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. A thief on the cross use if. If you be Christ, come down off the cross. Save yourself and us. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. The Bible tells us that if your right hand offend you, cut it off. If your right eye offend you, pluck it out. Jesus said on one occasion, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. A woman one day wanted to touch the hem of his garment, and she said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Paul reminds her that if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain. Am I right about that? The Bible is full of this little word, if. Not only the Bible full of if, but life is full of if. And there are some very disturbing ifs in this life. But one of the most disturbing if in my mind tonight is the if that I want to talk about. It blossoms on the pages of history like a thousand flowers in one single garden. It adores the record of the century like a thousand monuments built of the purest and precious stone. It echoes of the character of the time like the music of a thousand chords, visible and visible in one grand atom. What if Mary would have had an abortion? Oh, my brothers and sisters, such subject would shock us.
Yes, sir.
Some of us, it might offend our faith.
Yes, sir.
But it's supposed to also make you think.
Yes, sir.
If it offends you, it ought to make you be happy.
Yes.
You ought to be glad that Mary didn't have an abortion.
Yes.
Now, my brothers and sisters, I want you to know tonight that Mary could have had an abortion.
Uh-huh.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
She had a good reason.
Yes, sir.
She had a good reason.
Good reason.
Just like folks have today.
Yes, sir.
She was not married. She was a virgin woman. Huh? That's why I just love this King James Version. You have to watch these modern translations. You know, man tampering with this book so much. I read in some translation where it called Mary a young woman. But it's plenty of young women, not virgins. She had a good reason to get rid of that baby.
Yes, sir.
Because, you know, in that time, in Hebraic history, it teaches us, if anybody got pregnant out of wedlock, they would stone you to death.
Yes, sir.
Mary could have had an abortion and got rid of Jesus. She didn't have to believe what no angel said. God knows I had mercy for Joseph.
Yes, sir.
Because Joseph had to have a lot of faith.
Yes, sir.
Now, men, come on now with me. Now, you wouldn't hear this stuff about your wife talking about some angel. Told me I got pregnant. You don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear nothing about your wife saying, baby, listen, I'm pregnant and an angel told me that the Holy Ghost did it. You don't want to hear nothing about that kind of stuff. Back the body before she can get to the Holy Ghost, you got your bags and gone.
Yes, sir.
Joseph had to have had a lot of faith in Mary, and I don't know, the Bible tells me that he did get upset.
Yes, sir.
And an angel had to come and talk to Joseph. Well, Joseph, don't you get mad with me because this thing is done by the Holy Ghost.
Tell it.
But now suppose Joseph didn't want to believe the angel.
All right.
Suppose Mary didn't want to believe no angel. Got rid of this baby Jesus.
All right.
Oh, my brother and sister, one of the greatest problems we have today is abortion.
Yes, sir.
We talk about it theologically. We talk about it philosophically. We talk about it sociologically. However way we want to argue about it, it's a problem today.
Yes, sir.
People are going around having abortion.
Yes.
I want to tell you what my Bible says.
Yes, sir.
I don't care what you say, where you've been to school, how much you know, my Bible says, thou shall not kill. Now somebody trying to tell me, Reverend, it's all right when a baby, when a woman is only pregnant for about 2 months or 3 months, they argue that and say the baby doesn't have no eyes, doesn't have no leg, but anytime that mother is alive and life is in that baby and you take that baby, you murdered that baby.
Yes, sir.
I know I'm not going to get no shouting tonight.
Oh.
You didn't give life. You have no right taking life.
All right, preacher. Tell it, tell it.
Now you say to me, Rep, listen, I've had an abortion because I have a job. And I got things to do, and I love my boyfriend, and but I can't marry him. I got to go on and finish my education. Well, I come by here to tell you, you don't have no business taking that baby life because you had no business shacking. I've been telling women in my office when they come to counsel with me, anybody think enough to shack with you, they all think enough to marry you. Around shacking. And then I come by here to tell you tonight, I found out these 31 years that I've been living, that not all the young folks shack. You see, young folks shack to save money. Young folks shack to get out of responsibility. But old folks shack to keep a check. I know I'm hitting now. You're not going to want me back here. Well, if I change over and marry him, change my name from Jackson and marry William, they're going to cut my check off. Shack. Some of these older folks in my church, I've been telling, running around cussing out all young folks, but never look at themselves. I remember once when I was pastoring a little church down the country, they wanted to have a meeting. And I thanked this girl for not getting rid of the baby. Some digging me, whoa, whoa, pastor, what's got to have a meeting? I said, what kind of meeting? What you want to meet? Oh, you know, old church teacher, girl get pregnant, what's for put out? I said, yeah. I said, yeah, what's want this meeting? That girl walking around here, pregnant, what's need me? Oh, I said, well, I tell you what, I'm going to go on and call this meeting, see what you all want to talk about. She came to the meeting, girl pregnant, sat right on the front bench. And the deacons who want to talk about her got up saying it's wrong, and we got to put out, she said, Brother Pastor, can I say something? I said, yes, they're talking about you, darling. She said, well, I want to tell you, but Pastor, before you all vote me out, I want to go down the line and somebody else got to come out with me. She said, now I want to tell you, but Pastor, that deacon so-and-so that's talking about me being put out, he been going with my mama for 10 years. And she said, Brother so-and-so sitting over there on that bench back there, he goes with a lady, he pauses his car out. Skeletons in their closet. I don't care what folks say about you.